There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Another hour of live local talk. Lots to get into this hour. You did hear the story. I know they talked about it some this morning. The flooding. They said that, you know, the flooding on the Pearl River in Jackson, Mississippi. I got a buddy over there. I got to text and see what's really happening, or if you got friends or relatives over there. The story is looking better, right? They don't think it's going to go as high as before, but it would affect, they said it could affect like, a, I don't know, 100 and something houses. I don't have the number, but like 150 houses over there, but no water has gotten in a home yet. So how narrow, because it looks like it's crested, and there's different gauges, but one of the gauges I pull up, because I look at the NOAA, so National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and y'all with concerns along the rivers here in Alabama, you know, go check that site, right, that shows the projections to look at it for the Tom Bigby and the Alabama and the Mobile River, whatever. But they also have it for, like, the Pearl River. The Pearl River, they show cresting it at this gauge at 17. And that's not the gauge I think they use in Jackson, but this is showing it at 17. But the historic crest, I mean, because you heard the breathless discussion of the, you know, the giant flood and biggest ever. Like, it's not good if your home's there. I'm with you. But, I mean, it's, I think the historic crest is 21 feet at this gauge. And it's gotten, I mean, you're on down the list where you're up above 19 and a half. So I hope everything's good over there. But I'm trying to figure out how much of this is a news headline. You know, that's just going to make its way on down the river out into Lake Bourne, like all that water. It will throw a bunch of fresh water out in Lake Bourne, I guess. So, yeah, but if you have, like, real-world, you know, friends or family over there, you can give me some perspective. I would appreciate that. All right, I get to some of these texts here, and then we got to take a trip out to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which would be nice. Who doesn't want to take a trip to Jackson Hole? So we'll do that here in just a little bit. But problem is, what was said during that meeting in Jackson Hole. So back to the hurricane discussion here. So LV said, we've had a lot of improvements since Katrina, but a whole lot more people have moved to the Gulf Coast area. Yep, that's true. I just wonder if the things we've done, fortified roofs, elevating structures, all those kind of things, put us in a better position going forward. All right. Brad asks, who's the a-hole that got broadband on Dolphin Island and didn't plug in Alabama Port and Monlui Island along the way? I don't know. I don't know why they didn't take a little side turn there, Brad. But and I don't, you know, I don't know if in the connectivity world, is it like, you know, where you have a sewer main line and then you've got to take it off, you know, to go to service different properties, or I'm not sure, but like Matt had asked on the text line earlier, did he hear it correctly? And yeah, from the story from Fox 10, they and I just did this simple mathematics, dividing the total 638,000, something like that, against the number of households served by this, and came up with like $1,500 per home to have them connected. It's, let's see, I think those numbers are correct. I have to look it back up. If they're not, I don't know if. Is it there? There it is. Okay. From Fox 10 TV, WALA, several local rural communities will be the beneficiaries of a grant to make Broadband services available in numerous locations throughout Alabama. All right, this is the full story, but it said in Southwest Alabama, Comcast Cable Communications will receive $686,298 to provide broadband access to 438 households, businesses, and public institutions in communities of Alabama Port and Monlouis Island in Mobile County. So there's a... It's interesting how they're going to pick. They're going to, if they don't get this done, if they start this process, ADECA, administering this money, and they don't end up filling in the whole map, you're going to have people with a sore finger on this, that you hook up one area and not the other. Because people will ask this question, okay, well, what about Western Mobile County? You got that area, which I'm not anti hooking up people in Alabama Port, but what about other areas? This is going to be a conversation that goes on a long time. I have a feeling, and we'll get more of the people back in that I've had on in the past that administer and kind of the people under the hood, people that actually do the work of setting up this broadband. Those are the people most interesting to me compared to just the politicos on this. We'll have more of those people on the show because, well, they're on the front lines of this. All right. This texter, unnamed texter, total waste. SpaceX provides broadband everywhere. Well, we'll see where that goes. But if the state wants to make this move, do you think what would you do on the SpaceX part? Which I'd like that those shares to increase in value out there. Unnamed texter, it would be self serving. But if you had broadband in a satellite form, do you, and where the price is set, is it going to be higher or lower? I haven't looked at the projections there on what it would cost with running fiber and those kind of things. Is it going to be much more, much less? Kind of a question there on where that will be. Isn't Virgin doing something the same way? Isn't Branson doing the same thing? Isn't there competing one there? All right. John says, back from the Trump discussion, they went after the documents that Trump declassified on his way out that have been hidden from us ever since, the ones that proved the whole Spygate scandal. John obviously has access to what's in Mar-a-Lago. I'm impressed. Tony says, Starlink works great. I finally got mine, and it's the best internet I've ever had. Tony, can you do that? Because I'm interested, really. I mean, personally, and for the show, but interested. Can you do that speed test thing on your computer when you get a chance? I think it's... Oh, I don't want to give the wrong address. It'd be some spammy place, but I think it's like speedtest.org, maybe. Somebody can correct me on that. Tony, can you get a chance to tell me what you're getting up and down through that Starlink? That's really cool. I'd like to know, what kind of speed. Because the up is always the question, right, too? Like when people I know in rural communities had done through the satellite providers, had done internet, and they get a lot more down than they could get up. In other words, they could get download stuff, but they couldn't send stuff up as easily. So I'll be interested on those rates for Starlink. All right. I think you got all those broadband questions. Some of them answered, maybe not all of them. But if you got one that I missed, pop it in here. Also, people with Katrina stories. Gosh, we got so many. My man Maximus says, I'll never forget, right before Katrina hit, a partner and I were assigned to monitor traffic on I-10. It was a standstill, so he and I were leaned on our hoods, smoking cigarettes and watching cars creep by. A nice-looking young lady from New Orleans put her window down and said, "Where am I?" I told her, "You're in Mobile, baby." She said, "Dang, I've been in the car for 8 hours. Oh, yeah, the stories of people trying to evacuate there. And the number of folks from Louisiana and coastal Mississippi that came to live with friends and family over here, I think is a testament to the way we do things here along the Gulf Coast. All right, we'll get back to those, but I do want to get this Fed story going here. And Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell sees inflation battle lasting a long time. He's warned of economic pain. Now, he did this from the place that I think a lot of us would like to be this time of year. Would you not like to be in Jackson Hole? Maybe do a little fly fishing, some touring around, getting here into September, hearing the elk bugle and all that stuff. It would be good, right? Well, that's where the Fed was set up to give their latest bad news to the American people. So a nice backdrop. And yes, somebody had said on the text line, I thought I was the only one who thought Jackson Hole speech was absolutely horrible for the optics to the American people. Well, unnamed texter, you and I both thought that. That stood out to me at the end of last week. So part of this discussion was this creating pain for regular Americans, right? They got to keep ramping up the interest rates to cool the inflation, right? This is the monetary policy. I will point out, these are the same folks that were behind quantitative easing, right? So back when we were printing money and, you know, somebody suggested we just make a $1 trillion coin and put it, you know, those same group. Now they're doing, you know, the opposite. They're trying to slow the engine down. And my question here, and I'm going to get to the Jerome Powell clip in a second, but is there a chance that in doing this, and maybe more economic pointy heads out there can help me with this, is there a chance that in trying to crush the economy for the sake of lowering interest rates, which could mean, you'll hear the clip in a second, could mean job losses, less take-home pay, less opportunity out there, you know, an economy that may fully go into a recession. Could you do all that and not end up tamping down the inflation because you're not taking the other side of the equation, the supply issue, right? So you hear this discussion of inflation, too many dollars chasing too few things, widgets, products, services. If you do this as in kind of an old school way and tamp down demand by making people poorer, right? But you continue to have supply chain issues and supply issue problems, then you may still have fewer and fewer products, even though you have hurt the buying power of the American people. You continue to have supply chain issues, so you still have those remaining dollars being out of whack with the number of widgets of whatever sort folks are trying to buy. So are they going to continue to ramp this up going forward and not accomplish what they're trying to do in the first place? So here's Jerome Powell. This is from beautiful Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Said the Fed is ready to bring some pain to households and businesses out there.
The burdens of high inflation fall heaviest on those who are least able to bear them. Restoring price stability will take some time and requires using our tools forcefully to bring demand and supply into better balance. Reducing inflation is likely to require a sustained period of below-trend growth. Moreover, there will very likely be some softening of labor market conditions. While higher interest rates, slower growth, and softer labor market conditions will bring down inflation, they will also bring some pain to households and businesses. These are the unfortunate costs of reducing inflation. But a failure to restore price stability would mean far greater pain.
Okay, so we're going to check price stability, right? Which is, you're talking about inflation. We're going to try to get fewer dollars in the mix out there. So you're paying more for interest out there. That's getting picked up and taken away. You're reducing people's opportunity to improve their earning or maybe eliminate it if somebody loses their job. So you do all this in an attempt to rebalance the ratio of dollars versus items. But what if we don't get the supply chain issue under control? Could you end up having a situation where you reduce the dollars, you hurt the American people, like Jerome Powell said there from the beautiful setting in Jackson, Wyoming, where regular Americans that feel the pain are not going to be able to go, and not tackle the supply chain portion of it? It's interesting. It goes on an NBC story here. NBCNews.com says, as the pain increases, Powell said people should not expect the Fed to dial back its monetary policy quickly until the inflation problem is fixed. In other words, they're going to really squash this, right? They're really going to squash it. They're not going to let anything come back too soon. Now, one part of this is interesting. A headline, I think it was Bloomberg, had the headline out over the weekend that Fed Chairman Powell's speech, 8-minute speech, erased $78 billion from the richest Americans. Okay, so there's a spin on it that, you know, goes with that populism thing that, oh, well, that good, you get them, you eliminate their wealth. But often that wealth is used to create jobs, too, let me point out. But that was Bloomberg. Back to the NBC story. It says, as the pain increases, Powell said, people should not expect the Fed to dial back its monetary policy quickly until the inflation policy is, or inflation problem is fixed. Some investors anticipate the Fed will flinch if unemployment rises too fast, with some even penciling in interest rate cuts next year, an outlook the U.S. central bank officials have leaned hard against in recent weeks. So let's talk about that part, too. You do what they're doing. The effect ends up being people lose jobs. So with so much bragging going on about the 3.9% unemployment rate, which we could get into the U6 numbers and all that, but we've done it before. But with the bragging about that and something that would be maybe in the midterms, Democrats will be running on that, which, by the way, that solid lock for the House and, you know, the House solid lock for the Republicans, maybe a little more narrow than they had thought before, but Democrats could campaign on that low unemployment rate, and for sure, President Joe Biden or whoever they replace him with in 2024 would want to run on that number. But if this Fed policy ends up bringing that number up higher than what they think they can campaign on, will they lean back against the Fed and try to make a change so those numbers look good going into an election? Goes on a little further in the story, said, to the contrary, some policymakers have indicated that even a recession would not dissuade them if inflation is not convincingly heading back to the Fed's 2% target. So if you believe we're in a recession already, it doesn't matter. But they're saying that policymakers have said, even if we go into recession, they're going to keep up with the quantitative cooling, right? The slowing down of the market. Goes on to say, Powell gave no indication on Friday of how high interest rates might rise before the Fed is finished, only that they will go as high as needed. As high as needed. Now, of course, before you type the text here, I remember the stories from my parents in the 80s with what they were paying interest rates to buy a home versus what my reality has been since I bought my first home, and up till the 2 years ago when we moved and bought another home, the rates are a pittance compared to that. But in all that, you're dealing with people's ability to buy a home, move on with their life. I mean, millennials, I'm sorry. Prices went really high on homes, right, that made it hard for some millennials to get homes. Now the interest rates, might, even though those prices may come down in the house, the interest rate might be so high that you can't do it then either. And then what does that mean for all the people that work in building new homes and furnishing new homes and servicing new homes? Goes on to say, bond markets appear to take heart the remarks signaling a higher for longer interest rate path. In other words, maybe it's worth saving money going forward. Traders beefing up bets on the third straight 75 basis point rate hike at the September 2021 policy meeting, and pricing expectations the policy rate will get to the 3.75 to 4% range by next March. So that's where they see it heading, but the Fed is saying, hey, listen, we're going to keep this going as long as it takes. There'll be some pain for the American people. Of course, they're telling us that from beautiful Jackson Hole, Wyoming. What are you seeing in your life that reflects what's being talked about by the Fed? And do you think you could have a situation where they could use this method to cool, right, to cool the spending out there, to try to cool inflation? And if they don't tackle supply chain issues, we could end up out of the frying pan and into the fire. Right, talk about this when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
They say, why the heck would they want to go to Jackson Hole anyway? It's gorgeous, gorgeous place. And for the fancy Fed people, I mean, there's all kind of, it's not like it's make-believe the West, right, Debbie? Because there's art galleries and fancy restaurants and all this expensive stuff there, but it's a gorgeous place. People go there, people play cowboy, you know, go buy hats and vests and walk around and do all that stuff, but it is a, yeah, I'd love to be there. I'd love to be doing this show right now. Maybe I should have argued that I could go do the show to follow the Fed. I could have done the show from Jackson Hole. Maybe we'll do that next year. All right. Lots of questions or lots of comments here on inflation, what it's meaning. No, Paul, one of our listeners that's in this business said the price of pipe going up, concrete, PVC, and steel. It's not good. I need to get some culvert pipe, Paul, so that's not good for me. Let's see. Okay, so it just kept moving things away. All right. So Sly Dog said, I happen to like the honest and direct comments by Powell. May not be what anyone wants to hear, but at least he didn't sugarcoat it. All he really has control over is the demand side, not the supply side. Right, but if you don't, and Sly Dog, you're accurate, but if we don't tackle the supply side and we just tackle the demand side, can we just reset this at a lower bar, that the ratio is still out of whack, even though the American people would be hurting at that point? You know, that's the, well, yeah, unnamed texture says this is also depressing. Yeah, it is. But, you know, we've got to talk about it. Aiden from Citronelle. What's up, Citronelle? Just through there the other day. Said, until we eliminate having all goods come from Asia, our supply chain problems won't end. Sean says it's all on purpose. They're crushing the middle class between taxation and inflation. A whole bunch more. Listen, okay, we're going to get to your text when we come back. Lots more to do on the show. Plus the AI rapper story. That's artificial intelligence rapper. It's a thing. We'll get to it. News right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Remember, you can hit us up on the text line, phone line, or one of those talkback messages through the FM Talk 106.5 app. I want y'all to say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, where he tells me it's Twin Day. What's that mean?
Well, it is Twin Day. We've got a pair of 4Runners. We got a pair of 2018 Escalades. One's got 80,000 miles. One's got 90,000 miles. They're both white. We've got a pair of Suburbans. We just bought which is a rare bird, a 2010 Escalade EXT, which is like the Avalanche. There's none around at all. We've also got a Ram ProMaster van, a cargo van, if anybody's looking for a nice cargo van.
Man, you got the great selection of those new additions and all the gas misers, trucks, and midsize SUVs we could want to look at. So let's talk about looking at them in person and online. Tell us how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. That's a mile south of I-10. Go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com, or give us a call at 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Right, get back to these texts here, and then we got to move on. We got a couple more things I want to get done. We need to get done in today's show, right? Let's see. And Thomas, that's a heck of a picture. Thomas sent me some washout pictures. Thomas, I'll raise you though. I got washout pictures. It's been a washout summer for me on some spots. All right, so they're moving around. I need some way to be able to lock these texts down in order. Terry says, since it's so painful for the lower middle class, can we expect a $10,000 tax cut for people making under $150,000, just like the student debt redistribution, right? I will say that if your definition of lower middle class is $150,000 a year, then, man, throw me in that briar patch. And Terry goes on to say, the tinfoil part of my brain thinks this inflation is done on purpose to force more people onto public assistance and set us up to be willing to give up our rights to get out of it like Germany in the 1930s. Hopefully there's no Reichstag fire, right, Terry? Let's see. But, you know, the thing about giving up rights, and I heard maybe it was Jeff talking about this morning, it's something that it's not new. We've talked about it on this show so many times. It's all carrot and no stick until later, right? It's always people give up because they're going to get something. And that's a tough thing about being like a fiscal conservative, you know, whether that be a Republican or a Libertarian, is that you don't have that to campaign on. It is the Achilles heel of fiscal conservatism is taking it to the people. When person over here says, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to settle this score and I'm going to give you this other thing and you're going to get more from them and those people over there don't deserve that, so I'm going to get you this. Even Republicans to some degree will say, you know, I'm going to give you this treatment here because of how you spend your money, this or that. when you have somebody that comes out that just talks about fiscal conservatism, there's no, I mean, they're offering you liberty, right? And to me, that should be the thing you would vote on, but it doesn't get the, I mean, it's tough to go up there and go, well, the planks of my platform are just a 4x8 sheet of plywood and it's liberty. Yeah, it doesn't, so I'm not going to, we're not going to increase programs, we're not going to help people, and we're going to pay down the debt. I mean, people need to hear that. It is the right thing to talk about, but people don't want to hear it, right? And you want to hear whatever the party is. Both sides is like, well, it's these people's fault or those people's fault. And we're going to make it better for you. It's those other people that have been screwing this up. And listen, there's truth to some degree on allegations on both sides of this. But in reality, if somebody comes out and says, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to not spend more than we bring in. Okay, we got this revenue coming in. We are going to cut programs instead of adding programs. We're going to go through and cut wasteful, and that money is not going to come back to you. So that's the problem. So the Democrats would like you to, you know, hear the story that we're going to fix all these problems and you're not going to have to pay for it. Republicans are going to talk about cutting taxes, but they're not going to address debt. They're both talking about it, but on the opposite sides. In reality, somebody who would come in and say, we're not spending what we spent last year. Okay. We're not increasing spending. We're actually reducing. And the money there is not going to come back to the taxpayer for the short term. It's going to pay off that debt. Boo, hiss, boo. Of course. Nobody wants to hear that. That's reality. My only question here about the Fed, and Sly earlier said he liked the direct language from Jerome Powell. And I'm with you, Sly. I'd rather get the truth even if I don't like it, even if it's in the beautiful setting of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I would have loved if Jerome Powell would have worn like he had gone out and spent a lot of money on a Stetson cowboy hat and worn it just to like fit in. But the problem is if we, and I do understand the lever of control is a demand lever that he has, Sly. Jerome Powell can, lower the dollars in the system, right? Bring spending down. But if we do continue to have a supply chain issue, if this equation has two parts, right? In inflation, too many dollars chasing too few items. Remember, this is the same Fed that was in charge of quantitative easing, pouring money into the market with low interest rates, right? Same guys. Now they're going to pull money out to try to change this around. But if you don't tackle the supply side of this, then you could do all these things, hurt regular American people who may not be able to, what's the term people use when they use a season as a verb? They may not be able to summer in Jackson Hole because they're busy working. You're going to hurt them, and you may not, at the end of this, tamp down inflation. I hope so. I believe in our country before I believe in any party. I know that makes me unpopular among a lot of people, too. So I would like success for American people. If you do this, and of course, politicians are going to pull with this because if the unemployment rate gets too high, it's bad for re-election. But if you do this side of it where you raise interest rates to the point that you take money out, right? People with money will put it in savings because the interest rate available there without risking it, you know, in equities, they'll pull that money out. Jobs will be lost. Fewer things will be bought on credit because of interest rate going up. What if you do all that and the American people suffer less quality of life because they can't buy the same things, losing a job, whatever, and we still have inflation? What do you do then? So if you're going to do this on the demand side, you got to find who's got the lever on the supply side. That's going to be a harder lift, but you got to do it. G-Man saying that we need the he sent me a meme here, said the cost of everything is too damn high. He's got the rent is too damn high guy. Where is that guy when we need him? Remember him? He was fantastic. I forget his real name. I just remember him as the rent is too damn high guy. By the way, side note here, Tony, this is self-serving, but maybe it'll help other people. He's got, Tony texted in earlier about Starlink, and he tested it. He says he gets 50 megabytes down and 8 megabytes up. That's not bad. Not bad, Tony. Thank you. Who's asking me? Okay. a lot of things coming in here. And I don't know if that's right on the... Oh, speaking of Liberty, David asked me about it. Somebody, I'm going to get booked on the show. David, we're working on it. So what's your take on that? But do you think you end up going through this project? Do you think you go through the quantitative cooling from the Fed? Because from the discussion, they're not stopping. They're going to overkick. You know, they're going to overshoot the target. They're not stopping anytime soon with their raising of interest rates. Do you get to a point where you're seeing job losses, unemployment coming up? I wonder if the politicians will get in and tell the Fed to stop doing that because it makes it tough for re-election. Will you do all that and hurt American people and still not solve the problem of inflation? And add to that, too, supply issues. Just a side note, because I saw an Axios story, which blends in with something we've talked about many times on the show, looking half a world away to the war in Ukraine. Here's what I see coming. And I'm not the only one. Lord knows. I mean, it's not like I've came up with some novel idea, but I agree with it, and we've talked about it for a while, that Russia is going to have Europe over a barrel, barrel crude, actually natural gas, come wintertime. That's when I start seeing things move, because they already have, I don't know if you've seen the stories about the what's happening in places like Germany, Spain, Italy, France, with their power issues there, but it's summertime. And so some of those power issues, you might not be lighting up a cathedral the same way you did in the past, or was, of course, the Germans have been saying, requesting people shower together. Why is that not surprised me in Germany? Yeah, it's time for us to shower together. Because they're cutting hot water off at public buildings. And all, so there are a lot of things. There's a full story about that, what's going on in Europe. But that's nothing compared to when winter hits in Europe and they can't heat homes and schools and businesses and all that. That's when I think we might see some capitulation to the Russians by the EU. I don't know. Well, just if there's so much discussion now, right? When people, I mean, you could be hot, but you're not going to freeze to death. Wait till it's wintertime there and see what happens on it. All right. Before I run out of time in this segment, I do want to at least give you this story before you hear it elsewhere. So we've talked about AI, artificial intelligence, right? And everybody talks about algorithms and all those things that go on with AI. Did you see this, that they've got a rapper that's not real? Well, okay. The lyric writing is done by AI. And then you have a human being, an actual human being, voicing the raps. So this is we'll tell you what, we'll go to the break, we'll come back and talk about this, what's going on, because this artificial intelligence rapper was signed and then dropped for a record contract because the artificial rap was created was so offensive out there that Capitol Records didn't want to keep him. I'll talk more about that. News is coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey Bennett at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I'm telling you about this. You got junk at the home, got junk at the office. You get a storage unit, right? So you just put things in there, so you go, okay, I don't have to work. I don't have to make a decision on that thing for a while. Every month you cut the check, right? We were doing it personally. We've done it with this radio station. And you look at the situation, you go, do I really need the stuff that's in there? Why am I paying on that? Get it cleaned. And then you're like, well, I don't have time to get it cleaned out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK can get it done with a quickness. It's easy to set that appointment, to have them come to your home, your office, a house you're getting ready to sell, storage unit, whatever it is. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online is 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Phone number, the name is the phone number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And the folks you talk to will work with you to find a day that works for you, window of time that works for you, and they set a good old-fashioned appointment. They show up, all you got, and they're nice folks. Like, you got to, like, I'm pretty darn shy away from this place, and super comfortable with the people from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Show up at the house, walk them through, show them what you need picked up, what you need gone. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. Like, even the after they get the junk gone, like at our storage unit for the station, they swept the thing out immaculately, got 100% of the money back there on our, what do you call that thing? I turned 50 and I can't remember words. what do you call that thing? Deposit. Gosh, you get 100% of that back because they did such a great job. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call Trey, my friend, with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And by the way, too, speaking, another buddy of mine sent me a picture. This is good. As I was talking about what Jerome Powell might be dressed like as he presents out in Jackson Hole, where all the people, you know, go out there to play cowboy. If you've ever been out there, you'll see it. Like the regular, there's real cowboys. I don't know how many of them come into town from time to time, but there's a bunch of people that play dress up when they go out west, right? And picture from Dumb and Dumber with the Stetson with the full regalia of feathers on it, the shearling wool coat with the gauntlet gloves with the fringe on them. Yes. So if Jerome, thank you for that text. If Jerome Powell would have dressed like that, it would have been much better for him telling us how we're going to suffer as regular American people as he does that in the backdrop of Jackson Hole. Quick text here. Let's see from Adam. Sean, what concerns me is the economic conditions we're experiencing aren't typical or like any other that we've experienced, specifically COVID, supply chain issues, labor participation, and unprecedented infusion of federal dollars. Since these new influences are non-typical, why do we think the traditional tools that the Fed has will work? Adam, you made my case better than I did. Thank you for that text. I mean, that's just a question, right? If they got the lever on the demand side, but what if supply drops in a similar pattern and then you end up with this recession, or at the same time you don't tackle inflation? I pray, I don't want them not to be successful. I want to tackle inflation, but I want to have the least amount of pain for Americans while that goes on. All right, this rapper thing, we just got a minute or two left here, but this is too much. So you could, if you Google FN Mika, so Frank Nancy and then Meka, FN Mika is a virtual rapper, an artificial intelligence generated rapper, got signed last week by Capitol Records. So here's a story. This is from which one am I going to do? Mashable.com. Said the AI-powered rapper FN Mika signed a record deal with Capitol Records, becoming the first digital artist to sign with a major label. 11 days later, the deal was terminated amidst what the character promoted as gross stereotypes of black culture, as reported by the New York Times. The voice behind the character has also come forward to say XXL, I guess XXL is the human voice, that he has never been paid for his involvement in the project. The virtual rapper has a large digital presence with 10.3 million TikTok followers and 222,000 Instagram followers. It was created by the media company Factory New, which is co-founded by Anthony Martini and Brandon Lay, or La, I don't know. The two men told Music Business News that last year that FN Mika was created. Now listen to this. This is how they created this rapper. By using thousands of data points compiled from video games and social media. So that's what they put in the artificial intelligence. They also say that while the character's voice has come from a real human, his lyrics and all the other elements of his rapping are generated by AI. And I'm not going to play any of this on there because it's so full of words that I'm not a fan of and edits that it's not worth my time to put it on. But they said they put that in there, into the AI, and then let the AI come up with these raps. Goes back to the Mashable story. Since the digital rapper's recent online attention, FN Mika has received negative criticism for his mannerisms and online presence. Let me point out, though, it's also a computer. It's not a real person. Many took issue with the character using the N-word in his lyrics. If black artists can, which it's obvious, use the N-word in lyrics, if you have AI creating this and it's coming from video games and social media, what's going on there that's going into the AI? The computer decides it's going to use the N-word in the lyrics. It also, calls out depictions of police brutality on the rapper's social media. After being signed by Capitol Records, so somebody at Capitol Records must have lost a job on this one. After being signed by Capitol Records, FN Mika dropped a debut song titled Florida Water. I watched that one this morning, featuring Gunna and gaming streamer Clix. Don't know either. but I'm 50. On August 23rd, an activist group, Industry Blackout, released a statement calling for Capitol Records to sever ties with the AI rapper, citing the character to be, quote, a direct insult to the black community and our culture. Now, I would agree with that, but why is that not called out for other rappers? Is because this one's artificial intelligence doing it? It says the statement also directly criticizes FN Mika's collaboration with Gunna and the debut song. Quote, this digital effigy is a careless abomination and disrespectful to the real people who face real consequences in real life. So is this being anti-AI? I think these people are being anti-AI. It says, for example, Gunna, the black artist who's featured on the song with FN Mika, is currently incarcerated for the same type of lyrics this robot mimics. The difference is your artificial rapper will not be subject to federal charges for such. This is a dumb comment. Because the AI can't go do something to get itself put in jail. I hate to bring that up to the people. But yeah, so there's a story. I'm going to pop this up on the Twitter feed because I think there's lots more to talk about here. But there's, so they pump in all this social media, right? They pump in video games, and it kicks out an artificial, this is like not a person. It makes the raps, and then they have a human being do the rapping. And now Capitol Records signed artificial intelligence to a record deal and has now fired the artificial intelligence from a record deal. It's 2022, right? All right, good. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.